Hello, I'm Terry Cheek. You're listening to Crisis and Concern for April 19, 2016. Welcome to a program that addresses current events and their solutions as found within God's Word. Call your family, friends, and church members. Tell them the latest Crisis and Concern podcast is posted for immediate download at sermonaudio.com/PastorTerry. And we're also available on iTunes as the Inspiring Word podcast. On today's program, we're going to discuss North Carolina Bill HB2. It seems to have drawn a lot of controversy and a lot of national smear over the last few weeks. And really, for those of us who live in North Carolina and are conservative in our values, either political or Christian values, we don't see the necessity for the smear. We support this bill, and I want to take this opportunity to discuss it from the perspective of a citizen first, and then a pastor second. So bear with me for a few moments, turn the volume up, and get the perspective on HB2 from someone who lives in North Carolina. With that said, I have to ask you a question. If you've heard of HB2, you obviously have some idea of whether you support it or whether you don't. Have you read the bill? You can go online, go to the North Carolina State Legislature, and you can download the bill and you can read it. It's 5 pages long. And I recommend that you do that. Whether you are supportive or whether you oppose it, I'm not discussing that right now. I'm just asking, have you read the bill? Not read over it? Not glanced at it, not done speed reading or anything of that nature, but actually sat down in a quiet place and read it and understood what it says. Because really, the attacks that are coming out against it are full of inaccurate information. I've read the attacks, and honestly, before I throw my support behind anything, or before I oppose anything, I read it. I try to do legitimate research on it and find out the truth behind it and not listen to the 30-second sound bites that any person may be throwing out there, okay? And that's what I want to encourage you to do. I want to encourage you to download the bill. I want to encourage you to look at it and to read it and to draw an intelligent, educated response and an opinion of it based upon what is in there. Because what it does is it looks at and is established on the history of the overreach of the Charlotte City Council, where they passed a local ordinance that required all of their restrooms in all public buildings and even in private buildings of public assemblies, like even churches, they were expected to be multi-sex. In other words, if you were a man and you woke up and you identified yourself as a woman, you felt feminine that day, and you wanted to go into a woman's restroom, then you had the legal right to do so. Likewise, if you were a woman and you woke up feeling masculine that day and you wanted to go into a men's room, you certainly could do so. Also, what this opened up was the threat and the opportunity for those who are just sexually perverted to say, hey, I think I just want to go in the women's room, or I want to go in the men's room today. And they could not be stopped from doing so. That concern, that opportunity of concern there, is what prompted the state legislature to act on HB2. And by doing so, they wrote this bill to say, okay, for public buildings, for schools, for universities, for all of these public buildings, there has to be a male, a female, those things in the restrooms. We can't have children. We can't have mixed gender children going in and out. We can't have men going in with girls and women going in with boys and those things. But there is also some concessions in there. that says, unless these things are in place, and unless these are the reasons, and it's very common sense. It's very common sense. The LGBT community has spoken out in opposition to it. In my article for the Blue Ridge Christian News this month, or the coming month of May, I have written about HB2. And in that article, I write it in support, but I also write questioning the motives of the LGBT movement. LGBT, I believe, you know, they have their right to their opinion, they have their right to their views, they have their right to make their oppositions, and granted, let them have it. We're in America, they have the right to make their voice and to make their opposition known. But at the same time, we have to realize there is an extremist wing to the LGBT movement, and that extremist wing is focused exclusively on stomping out Christianity in America. They are very anti-Christian. The groups of people that are LGBT or their fair-weather friends, as I like to call them, have moved into North Carolina again. This is the third time. We saw them first over the constitutional amendment to define marriage. We saw them again when SB2, the bill that was enacted to protect the rights and choices and the religious protections of our magistrates, when that was passed, they reared their heads and came in, and now they're here for HB2 as well. So, okay, you're here, and you've got your oppositions, but none of your arguments are based on any point coming out of the bill. You say in all of your writings that you oppose this, or all of your broadcast, or all of your opinion pieces, you oppose HB2, you oppose HB2. But I haven't read one article or heard one broadcast or watched one news interview where someone pointed out a specific thing that they disapproved of or they disagreed with. They're disagreeing just to be disagreeable is what it comes down to. And honestly, that doesn't deserve any attention. That doesn't deserve any rationality in anything. But we give it. The media gives it because the media is anti-Christian. And that's where I want to go as a pastor. It is part of a strategy to take the Christian influence in America and to try to stomp out Christianity through a new wave of persecution. Christianity is being demonized like no other time in history, and it is being demonized in America. There was an interesting article that was written by Michael Savage. It was published in New America, and Michael Savage writes an article that says the West will collapse without a Christian revival. And I found that to be a very interesting article, and actually you will find this podcast linked to that article in sermonaudio.com. But as we look at it, we see that Michael Savage lays out there some very profound arguments. As a matter of fact, giving his opinion, he said, quote, "I can almost prove it. I can almost feel it. It is palpable to me. And I'm not the only one who sees it or feels it. Anyone I know with a certain intelligence level above a minimal amount sees what's going on in Europe, and they say that we're not far behind." And you know, he is so right. And that has been the talking points of Christians and Christian leaders and pastors for such a long time. And, you know, let me say this. I'm not a major influence in the Christian scene in America. And, you know, I don't have a television ministry. I'm not a seminary professor or a president. I don't have a lot of book deals. I'm not asking anyone for money or financial support. I don't have a ministry outside of my pulpit as a pastor. And that is a very grassroots church that I pastor. It is a small family church. But that's okay. I am where God wants me to be, and I'm doing the work of God, and that's what's important. When we look at Scripture, and we think about the LGBT movement, And this is about the movement, the lifestyle, not about an individual, okay? So this whole scenario that they're throwing out there that Christians are haters, I want to squelch that right now and say, Christians, true Christians, do not hate an individual, okay? True Christians that are saved by grace through faith alone in Jesus Christ do hate sin. Sin, not sinners. Now that's very important. That is a very significant difference in the way that they are formulating hatred. Now let me say this about Christianity too. There are Christians who are very liberal, and there are Christians who are very legalistic. And neither one of those viewpoints are aligned with sound Bible doctrine. So, I'm not going to get into the liberal or the legalistic. I'm not getting into any of that. I'm staying in the book, okay? Now, many times in God's Word, and I'm going to quote Mark, I believe chapter 6, verse 10, but in either case, Jesus is talking, and Jesus is speaking about the creation in the beginning. In the beginning, He, God, created them male and female. Period. So when we bring that into the context of the LGBT movement, it's a mute argument. The lifestyle of the LGBT movement is a lifestyle that when practiced, whether momentarily or whether over a lifestyle or whatever, it is a sinful lifestyle. It is just like adultery. It is just like fornication. And within fornication, I'm talking about bestiality, pedophilia. I'm talking about pornography. I'm talking about any of this stuff. And we're not talking about whether it is a one-time thing or it is a lifestyle thing. It is a sin that must be repented of, and it must be dealt with appropriately in our lives. But something that strikes me is very significant in this passage. Jesus said male and female as God created us. He did not say male or female. We do not have a choice in the matter. God created us the way He wanted us. He created some of us as male and some of us as female for His purposes, for His reasons. And that is greater than just an external appearance. It is greater than just any of the gender identification that we may have. When God creates us male and female, He creates a spiritual DNA within us, and we have a behavior that is inherent in us that is male and female. We have thoughts, we have feelings, we have emotions, we have desires that are placed in there that are specific to a male and specific to a female. You can change the gender identification. And you can put a dress on a man, or you can put overalls on a woman, but you're not going to change the way God created you. None of the surgery, none of the psychology, none of the rest of this is going to matter. It's not going to change. Now, some make an argument, and they want to know, what about those people who are born with both genders? What about them? God has a reason for creating that as well. And those folks have a purpose. They have a legitimate argument. There's nothing wrong with them. They are the way God created them. God loves them. And they need to have the accommodations that are necessary to handle their gender identification. And that's great. But God created that. God made that individual and that person. It wasn't created by drugs. It wasn't created by surgery. That person wasn't created by man. That person was created by God, and God loves that creation just as He loves you and me. And let me say this to the LGBT community. As a true Christian, I love y'all. I love y'all dearly. I want to see God's work in your life. But you cannot live the lifestyle that is called sinful in God's Word and still be right with Him. Now, that's the Bible. That's what God's Word says about it. When we look through Michael Savage's article, some more, we see him talking in tremendous terms about what's going on in Europe and how Europe is collapsing. And as I said this earlier, the LGBT movement and the extremists and the way certain factions of society and even politics are getting behind this and pushing it and moving it, there's a lot more to it than just a social choice. They're trying to squash Christianity in America, and this is just the beginning. The next move is going to be the influx of immigrants. That's why immigration is such a big issue in the election right now, because there is what I perceive to be an agenda tied to immigration. The majority of the immigrants that are coming into America are being touted by the Muslim faith. And with that said, America, by its own constitution, can be very easily overthrown by a religious vote. If there is a group, a social group that identifies heavily with Muslims, and they gain the right to vote and the privilege to vote without being a citizen, or they're granted citizenship or whatever as they moved in, then the pro-Muslim movement brings in Muslim immigrants, or brings in people that will be converted or easily converted into the Muslim movement. And then when those numbers reach a majority level, then America, by its own constitution, is voting in a religious movement of Muslims, which changes the way the Constitution is practiced. You won't change the verbiage of the Constitution, but they change the practice of the Constitution to be in line with Muslim principles, and may even try to adopt to a level the Sharia law concept. Now, this is where the LGBT groups are getting duped by certain political figures. They're getting duped by these people who are putting their arms around them, and they're being fair-weather friends to them for the political moves. And in reality, when the Muslim movement gets moved into America and they get the Muslim takeover and they get to squash Christianity through Muslims, they also squash the LGBT movement. Because in fundamental Islam, it is a death penalty to be LGBT. They will execute you. Right now, there are over 100 gays in Saudi Arabia awaiting execution. Wow. That's something, isn't it? Think about those things. Think about them. And I want to encourage you, if you will, to please go to the state legislature's website. Look at HB2. And if you live in North Carolina, take this to heart. This is not just some political thing that's blowing up. This has got some very significant outcomes and very significant ties to a great big picture. Well, I hope this broadcast has been a blessing of encouragement and maybe even some enlightenment. Our desire is to reach as many people as possible with our broadcast. And to accomplish this, we desperately need your help. Not your money, just your help. Share our podcast with others. Tell others about a grassroots pastor from a small church in Western North Carolina who relates with the everyday Christian. Again, I'm not a celebrity. I'm not a seminary professor or a president. I don't have a television ministry. I am a pastor who loves God and His Word. So, will you help us by telling others about the inspiring word? You can find it by searching the Preacher's Journal in Google. You can visit sermonaudio.com/PastorTerry. Or you can find us through iTunes as the inspiring word. In either case, we appreciate your listening. We appreciate your ability to help us. And we sincerely hope that God blesses you, and until next time, we pray that His blessings are deep and that His arms are around you and that He builds a hedge about you. This is my prayer. Until next time, God bless.